Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Okay, my friends, it's been a big week. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of different things. This is going to be a diversified show, probably the best way to say what is to be coming tonight. If you wish to call in and speak with me, agree with me, disagree with me, share your thoughts, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I would love to hear from you. First of all, I want to talk about Syracuse University. I said it was going to be a diverse evening. I am a graduate of Syracuse University, the College of Law, class of 1960. I love Syracuse basketball. I am a fanatic, and as we say at Syracuse, I bleed orange. Syracuse has a hell of a basketball team this year. Right now, we've won 22 games and lost none. It's amazing. It's terrific. We played Sunday night Duke. It was purported to be the greatest basketball game of the collegiate season thus far this year. Even Dick Vitale was there. 35,000 people, the most ever, showed up at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse to watch the game. Syracuse eked out a two-point victory, 91-89. I want to tell you something. I've watched a lot of basketball. I followed Syracuse to two Final Fours. I don't know how many Big East tournaments I've been to in New York City. It was a Final Four championship game, one of the finest basketball games I've ever seen. Now, what makes it even more exciting, Arizona had been number one in the country before this weekend. Syracuse number two. Arizona had been undefeated also. Arizona lost to California Saturday night. So as of this date, my friends, Syracuse is number one in the country. We may not stay there. Rare is it that any college team goes undefeated anymore. We're probably going to lose a few, but we haven't yet, and I'm thrilled to share with you. Syracuse is number one, and we beat Duke. Okay, let's talk about Chris Christie. Pretty good lawyer. My mind is still good legally. I can understand things, and I can evaluate and punch holes and so forth. And I want to share with you that everything I have heard and read thus far on Chris Christie shows me nothing. I don't see at this point where he is guilty of anything. They say it could be this, it could be that. Someone says, well, I've got information, but I'm not giving it to you yet. That brings him into the circle here of responsibility. But I haven't seen anything. I've heard it's a lot of smoke, and there is no fire this time. A lot of smoke with no fire. It may change, and if it does change, I'll let you know. But as of this time, I think this guy is taking a beating. And his only problem may be that his people that he depended upon around him were not as sharp as he thought. And that in and of itself is a crime, and he's paying for appointing the wrong people. I may change my mind again, however, as things develop. But right now, I see nothing against this guy. Let's talk about Iceland. You will recall, I spoke a couple of weeks ago, that Iceland in 2008 had a problem with the banks also. They were getting screwed like we were in the United States. And the banks needed to be bailed out just as they had to be bailed out in the United States. There was one difference with Iceland, however. The people said no. The government said we must bail our banks out or we'll really be in bad shape. And the people said no. They went into the streets. And within 2 months, by protesting, they brought the entire government of Iceland down, from the prime minister, president, whatever it is, through the parliament. Everyone resigned en masse. They had new elections. They got a new constitution. They took the bankers, and they prosecuted them. They are not like we have been in the United States, where we're hearing too big to prosecute. Iceland didn't think they were too big to prosecute. They went after them. They have been taking bank CEOs and convicting them and putting them in jail. So now, what's the status of things in Iceland? Well, everything isn't perfect in Iceland because they did that, but things are better there than they are here in the United States. It was announced this week that Iceland's unemployment is at 4%. you heard me, 4%. When was the last time unemployment was 4% in the United States? I can't even remember. And the leaders of Iceland today project that within 2 years, they're going to be down to 2% unemployment. So whatever they did must have been right, and it looks like it was the right thing to go after the bankers and throw them in jail, where they belong in the United States also, and then let the chips fall where they may. Mexico. This bothers me. It was announced this week that it used to be, as you know, Japan exported the most to the United States. They were manufactured in Japan and shipped over here for us to buy Honda, Nissan, and what have you. Turns out this year, for the first time, Mexico, yes, is shipping more new cars to the United States than Japan. Now, how did this happen? I am going to tell you how this happened. It's very simple. Our automobile industry years ago shipped their plants, their manufacturing, to Mexico in many instances. Mexico is big in manufacturing automobiles today. You remember General Motors? They needed to be bailed out. We gave them $50 billion worth of taxpayer dollars. You don't know how General Motors irritates me. You don't know how my government today irritates me in this regard. Obama, and I love Obama, but and his administration, they're taking credit for, we saved General Motors, look, and they paid back our money. We loaned them $50 billion. They paid us back $41 billion, $9 billion short. Could you and I go to the bank and borrow $10,000 and only pay back $9,000? No way. You got to pay it all back. They paid us 41 back, 80%, and we're making it sound like, oh, what a wonderful thing. And General Motors is having the best year ever. Well, it was announced last July, and I've spoken about this several times in the past year. It was announced by the government of Mexico that General Motors was going to spend $647 million in Mexico. Part of it was going to go to build a new plant in Mexico. General Motors was going to manufacture cars at a new plant in Mexico. Now, I thought we bailed these people out like General Motors so we could keep jobs in the United States. Not working that way. And part of that $647 million also went to upgrade the factories that General Motors already had in Mexico. It's a constant screw job, and we don't seem to do anything about it. And if this NAFTA thing with Asia goes through, we're going to lose the few jobs we've got left. I don't know how we're going to be global people, because they sold us a bill of goods under Clinton and it didn't work, and we're going to ship all these jobs out to another country, but it's going to bring more business to the United States. It didn't work once. It isn't going to work again. It's got to be America for the Americans. Our investments have to be here. Our companies have to be here. They have to build here and create jobs here. Medical science impresses me. I've got to tell you, it impresses you too, I'm sure of it. There's just so many things they do. Paraplegics are walking today. They put these things on them that look like snow pants, and they got this electrical system going, and they can move those feet. It's hard to believe. Well, this is a basic I'm going to talk to you about, but this impresses me. A fellow by the name of Corey Taylor in 2011, he lost his thumb, cut it off with a saw, lost his thumb. Well, over a period of 2 years and several surgeries, they took his big toe, one of his big toes, and they put it where his thumb used to be, and now he has a thumb. It has a toenail, which, of course, toes have, but it's a thumb. It looks like a thumb. I watched it on a video. It operates like a thumb. The doctor said he could do without the toe much more than he could do without a thumb. And the man, Corey, says that it's just like I never lost my thumb. Interestingly, the doctor who did this says he does about 5 a year. It's nice to know that these things can be done, and we are doing them. Okay. I don't know. I've got to talk about something that bothers me here. I don't know if it bothers enough people in the United States. I know there is a concern with many. I don't know if it's enough. Here's the problem. I see our police departments becoming stronger. They're getting equipment, war equipment. They're buying unused and used war equipment since we're not in the wars as much as we were in the Middle East. And they're buying cheap or getting them for nothing from the United States government, and they're using them in local police departments. Like the Albany County Sheriff has this huge thing bigger than a tank. I forget what it's called. They've got protection equipment they can wear that makes them look like soldiers out there shooting people. And they're going to wear this equipment while they're enforcing local laws in the municipalities of our country. On top of that, we have an increase in police brutality. You're seeing in this country, they're doing a lot of strip searches. They're doing a lot of anal cavity searches under the pretense that someone's got drugs up their butt. It's turning out they don't have the drugs up their butt. It's just wrong. It's wrong what is happening here. And then we have NASA, the National Security Agency. You know what I'm going to say. They're bugging everybody's telephone and emails. I don't know, it's something like 400 million a day they're bugging. They're bugging the leaders of foreign governments. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. This has only happened, I'm going to tell you, to this degree under Obama. This is wrong. You must protect your individual freedoms. I think it's a crock. We've got to do this so we can protect you from, you know, foreign governments. Every time we ask them to tell us where they protected us, they don't have anything to tell us, okay? Give us the proof. At the same time, and you should be aware of this, the National Security Agency is storing food and water big time. Why? Do they expect trouble? Recognize that there is unrest in the world. I mean, look at the Middle East. Look at Africa. Look at Europe, Italy, Turkey, they're just going crazy in these countries. There is unrest. People are unhappy. They want equality. They want democracy in some form, whatever it is. And we want it here too. Now, my question, my point, I just throw this out. With all that's happening and the unrest in this country, because we're a divided country, are we going to have protests in the streets? I would say yes, they're coming. And if they come, is that going to turn into active rebellion? I don't know. But are people going to get mad and somebody's going to club a cop or a cop's going to hit a civilian and before you know it, 1,000 people are fighting on a street corner? Is something like this, like it's happened in Egypt, going to happen in the United States? I don't know. But it brings something else into play here, because I think we've got to think about all of these things, and that's guns and Second Amendment rights. I am opposed to anybody having a gun. I never wanted a gun in my life, though I recognize under the Constitution it's everyone's right to have a gun. Should be controlled by the government. But if you talk to these Second Amendment people, the people who are saying, I'm not talking about the NRA, I'm talking about the actual people who have guns and why they want to have guns. A lot of them suggest to protect themselves from the government if anything happens someday. And, you know, I'm beginning to think that may not be a stupid argument. I used to think it was. Maybe it's not an unwise one. Maybe we're heading into something, I don't know what here, that we haven't experienced before in this country. Because things aren't right, and they're not better, especially when you have 1% and 99%. We are headed for unrest, perhaps, on a massive scale. Let me talk to you about government intrusion to our lives. You know, they get phones to fly around. In 2 years, they're going to watch what you and I are doing. Okay? They're going to be in every place in school zone. They set up City of New York, 6 cameras. No one knows where the cameras are located in the school zone. But in a 2-week period, they picked up and charged 900 people for speeding in the school zone. You know, the speed may only be 10 miles an hour, 15 or 20, you're in trouble for speeding in the school zone. I am not condoning speeding in a school zone, But 9 weeks, just the camera, and there's no defense to get you on the camera. At $50 a clip, the fine is $40. The money alone will motivate you to spell it. Continued promise. I think this is too. I mean, here in the U.S., it's very simple. We drive 50 miles an hour through a school zone. The signs are there. They got senior citizens who look like police officers walking around, wave their arms, going a little too fast. And you do 50 miles an hour. That's the way it is. Okay, moving on. We continue to get screwed in this country, and no one can see your medical records or receive them without your express permission. It's no one's business what's in your medical record. And you remember about 10 years ago when they passed it, Congress and everybody made a big deal they were protecting us. Well, I want to tell you, HIPAA is a joke. It's finally come down to that point. It only took 10 years. And I got to say that, you know, when you go in the hospital, you sign all these papers, you know, HIPAA, everybody's always telling you, you can't find this out or that out, violate HIPAA. Well, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to say now. The by law can get the medical records at any time. They do not need an authorization. Now, it's even a step further. The New York City Fire Department, this is interesting. It came out this week. Medical records of people are important to drug companies, to manufacturers of certain medical products. I don't care whether something to support your foot, a boot, or what. All these records are important because it tells the medical manufacturer where the need is and who has that need so they know how to manufacture, produce, and market. Well, that's worth a lot of money. These companies pay for this information. Now remember, medical records are protected by HIPAA. The New York Fire Department says, well, no, not really, because we can share them. We can sell them, what they said. We can sell them to these manufacturers. It's marketing and fundraising activity, which is proper for us to do. Marketing and fundraising activity, proper for us to do. Are we getting screwed again? NASA can see them? Now, a fire department's going to sell them? Because how do the fire department have these medical records? They have their emergency technicians who drive those trucks. What are they called? I can't remember. And you have an accident. They're there first. Tell them they have medical records. Nothing's secret anymore. And it's wrong. It's wrong. You're entitled to these protections. Let me talk about the Farm Bill. I love the Farm Bill. I've been talking about the Farm Bill for a year now. I've been writing about the Farm Bill. The Farm Bill by the United States Senate, the dollars is. And it has to do with subsidies. Now, that means we pay farmers, not the farms things, okay? And we also do other little favors for them, which I'm going to get into. Well, farming is a good business now. You have your mega corporations which are doing these big ag farms, and they get subsidized, by the way. Yes, Dow Chemical, they subsidize largely by the government to do certain things. They don't, the price swings and it goes down, that they will get paid to farm because the price was down, the weather was bad, and they didn't make it money. And all this is authorized set by our Congress. The same people are getting subsidies, they're getting the insurances paid for by the United States government, not by the farmers. And our congressmen, many of them are farmers or have an interest in a farm operation and are receiving these subsidies. Now that alone is not the bad thing. In the law says, in fact, it is against for anyone to know the names of the members of Congress who benefit from this law. You got it. They're voting for the legislation, grabbing money as a result thereof, and you and I cannot know who they are for benefiting from this. Now, if that isn't a ripoff, I don't know what it is. Also, with this Farm Bill, they knocked out $9 billion from those that need it. Nice. Things are getting bad here. I'm not saying they're going to get horrible, but we've got to start standing up for our rights and talking about these things. At least talk about it. Let's get into police ballot. I saw something in the video today that turned my stomach. It's the wonderful thing about the internet. We can see and hear everything right away. This is an example of police brutality. This happened upstate. Didn't want to get out of the bus. He's sitting in the bus. He don't want to. He's not saying anything. Two police officers are in the bus, and they're being nice to him. They're explaining to him, you got to get up. Don't get up. Who knows what's going to happen? Let's not make an issue out of this. Please cooperate. This kid just sits there. He doesn't say a word. It's a special need student, which has to mean something. Finally, they say, okay, you're not going to get up. We're going to take you out. And instead of just lifting him up, one of the officers from the back lifted him up, threw him across the aisle for another seat, and bent one of his arms back, not back, but all the way up his head. You could hear the snap. His arm. The kid said, you broke my arm. Hi. It broke. It snapped. And now they're going to have a plus. They're going to pay big time. But that's not the issue. This should never have happened this way. Police officers are they're just too aggressive today. Something's wrong. They're doing strip searches again. They're doing anal cavity searches. And in many instances, they're getting away with it because, I say this, the courts are condoning my opinion. And they're going along with police officers in these activities. Why, I don't know. Validity again. Down in Houston, Texas, a fellow by the name of Greg Snyder was in the parking lot getting his car. A homeless man came for a ticket, and I have 75 cents I needed for I don't know why. And he put 10 in his pocket, and he gave the homeless guy 75 cents. Then Greg Snyder drove his car out onto the highway. Immediately pulled him over. They pulled him out of his car. They handcuffed him. They called 10 other cars. Now there's 11 police cars with all the officers. They told him that he had given drugs to the homeless man. Not money. He said, I gave him 75 cents. They said, no, you gave him drugs. They destroyed his car right there. They ripped the seats out. They used knives. They did everything to his car. They didn't find any drugs on him. And what do you think the policemen did at the end of the hour? They were laughing that they hadn't found anything. And look at the condition of the car. You're going to have another lawsuit. Interestingly, this was on the internet about 5 or 6 days ago. And people comment after stories like this. This story had many more comments than most stories of this nature have. There were over 11,000 comments within hours of this story going up. And I'll tell you, I went through several pages of them. I probably 1,000 at the most of that. Not one comment supported the police activity. Let's talk now about genetically modified foods. I keep talking about genetically modified foods. You know where they're made from chemicals and everything else. They're supposed to be bad for us. And we shouldn't be eating them, we're told. And here's the situation. This is why I'm talking about it. This week, and I've been talking about this for weeks, by the way, this week in Russia passed a bill totally banning the use or the eating modified agricultural produce. You can't eat anything grown with modified seeds. And at the same time, ban domestic production. You can't raise in Russia. You can't. Now tie this in. Hawaii came up last couple of weeks. Hawaii's fighting genetically modified foods. And on December 6th, the governor of Hawaii signed a law that says not only do we want your foods here, you can't have any plants which make produce genetically modified foods. Okay, now let's to Europe. See, everybody's banning. In Europe, 26 countries thus far have either totally or partially banned genetically modified foods, which brings us now to the United States. Oh, by the way, we get the United States. And Argentina in the month of January, they got a court decision saying that Monsanto could not construct a plant to produce genetically modified food. They wanted a genetically modified corn seed plant built. The government reports no interest. Now we come to the United States. Do you hear, other than why it's part of the United States, but it isn't part of the continental United States, do you hear of any state in the United States that wants to ban genetically modified foods? No. Where there is a fight, the fight occurs in about 40 of the states. It's to force the manufacturers of the growers of these foods to label foods as genetically modified. We don't argue they should ban. Our legislators have already compromised with the manufacturers and producers of genetically modified foods. We'll make it look good. This is my opinion. They're saying we're going to make it look good for you guys. We'll talk about labeling, not banning. You're already halfway home. This sucks. Okay, what have I got left here? That's about it. I got 90 seconds left. That's the show. I hope you have enjoyed it. I enjoy doing the show. Come back and listen to me next week. We're having audio problems. We're trying to work them out with Blog Talk. The archive is coming through clear. The archive, the direct show may not be tonight. We spent 4 hours on it Saturday with Blog Talk people. I hope it's resolved. The other thing is, and I mentioned this, I wrote a book, as you're well aware. It was published about 6 weeks ago. The World Upside Down by Louis Petrone. World Upside Down. It's for sale on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. It's my commentary on everyday events. If you enjoy this show, you enjoy what I have to say, you can read it in a more developed state in the book. Buy the book. You will enjoy it. I assure you, not because I'm trying to sell it. It's a fascinating book, I think. I love the product that turned out. Thank you again for